Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners are warned that the following podcast program may contain stories, names and voices of deceased persons.
This is Outback Out Loud.
People and stories from Outback New South Wales.
You get the first ray of light and the last ray of light.
Peace and quiet, worth its weight in gold.
We're coming to you from Galaganban.
The whole of Nevertire are our neighbours.
Check out Corinda.
Welcome to Growin', to the club in the scrub.
I've lived in Gadigal all my life.
We drove into Lightning Ridge and I was coming home.
Outback Out Loud!
That's what I like.
Welcome to Outback Out Loud, Season 3, Villages.
In this season, we explore stories and life experiences from the most remote centres in New South Wales.
Let's take a look around Gadigal.
Gadigal is a small town at the very top of New South Wales. It's 9.5 hours' drive from Sydney. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people make up approximately 74% of the population.
Yeah, my name's Tommy Stanton. I've lived in Gadigal all my life. I reckon Gadigal back years ago was one of the best communities to live in. We had practically everything. It was butcher shop, baker shop, outdoor theatre, cafes, garages, hardware stores. So yeah, it was a pretty good place to live. Oh, as kids, we just push bikes, motorbikes, and back then no mobile phones or technology. We just enjoyed just going out into the bush, and mainly all the boys used to go out and camp out and do things in the bush. I remember, primary, we used to go to Sunday school at the Church of England, and we used to go out to one of the properties, Red Plain Station, and they had a little buggy there that we used to, a little go-kart we all used to, that used to be one of the highlights, and it wasn't so much the Sunday school, it was the buggies that got me to church. I left here in 83, and my class in year 7 was a class of about 26, but when we got towards year 10, I think there was, about 7 of us finished. Yeah, I enjoyed my time here, and I'm still here today, so still work, I've worked here for the last 20 years. And I've got a very close association with the school. I try to be a leader. I've been a councillor for the last 11 years in the Brewarrina Council. And, standing as a candidate for these coming elections. As kids, that river used to run all the time. We lived on the river. We'd done that, the fishing was unbelievable. What you could practically live off the river. But now, with what's going on upstream, there's no river. The river very rarely runs. There's some big dams up there. I have been to a few meetings, and they've sort of brushed it every time that it doesn't affect the system, but it has to affect the system with the storage capacity that they have. They can hold the same amount of water as Sydney Harbour, which is a hell of a lot of water. As I said, we've got three rivers, the Bakara, Beery and the Colgo. And the Colgo was one of the biggest rivers around here, and now you can go out there and there's no water in the river. It's a pretty disturbing when you look back, and it's only been a matter of 30, 40 years that our rivers have stopped running. When it does run, the amount of people, the community on the river is unbelievable. The kids are there every day. There's people, people that travel from Lightning Ridge that come out here fishing, and there's sort of no better feeling than seeing people enjoying themselves on the river. Really can't give my grandkids what we had, because it's just not there anymore. You go away for a couple of days and you just can't wait, the peace and the quiet, and I wouldn't live anywhere else.
Up next, we catch up with Colin Rogers.
We're in Gadigal. Gadigal Central School is a school I attend, and a very small population. I think 16 students in the high school and about 16 or 17 in the primary. I was teaching in Port Macquarie, and I thought, coming towards the end of working life, I thought, I'll give a year back to the country, because I first started teaching in Brewarrina. I thought, my last year of teaching, I'll come out. And so I applied to the department and said, look, I want to go for a year, relinquish my position in Port Macquarie. And I got mung and dai. And as I was travelling to family to say goodbye, I'm going out bush for a year, I got another call from the department and they said, look, we know you think you're going to mung and dai for 1 year. We want you to go to Gaduga full-time permanent. And I screamed and they said, oh, sorry if you didn't like that. And I said, I love that idea. That's even closer to Brewarrina. Have you met Kevin and Karen? I taught her in Brewarrina. Now I teach kids. How special. Now, 1 year has already 4 years and I'm coming back next year. And I'm 70 next year. The long weekend we have a midterm break. We went up to Cunnamulla, Hungerford, stunning outback landscape, you know. I saw the dingo fence for the first time, which is 6,000 kilometres long or something. Now, they're precious. They're life. Sorry. They're great things that I wasn't expecting at this time in my life. And this community has given it to me. So how can I not be grateful? Or just a great place to be. Yeah. You've got sunlight from horizon to horizon. There's no mountains to block it. So you get the first ray of light and the last ray of light. The sunsets are grandiose. You've got some great, great skies. The night sky, you can actually see the Aboriginal understanding of the emu in the sky, where we only join the dots, they fill in the spaces, you know. Low scrub, lots of thorns. Lots of thorns, like you wouldn't believe. But low scrub. But so you have rivers, not always with water. You have emus, kangaroos, wild goats, pigs, sheep, sometimes if the conditions are right. You have the stunning wheat farms, you know. They just go for kilometres and it's flat, dead flat. And, you know, I've lived on the coast, you know, with the mountains and the sea. Beautiful. That's the imprinting moment. This is just as glorious. Calm, quiet. I don't know. It's a magic land. And it's a little bit green at present, which is a real shock. You know? And the people here, mainly Uwalari, but also Murawari and others, they love the place. I've mentioned Kevin, he will never leave. And same with Bob, they'll never leave this place. And you can see why.
By the 1960s, Gaduga Reserve had more than 200 Aboriginal people living in shacks, with few facilities, one outside tap, and earth floors. Reserve people were still separated from townspeople through legislation that banned them from drinking alcohol and from being in town without police permission. Despite the conditions, families stayed at the reserve into the 1990s, and some houses are occupied today. It was a place where people could live as a community, where older people still spoke their language, where they could be relatively independent and be near the Bakara River.
My name's Warren Mason. I'm in Gaduga. It's home to the Uralari tribe. Very flat. Get out onto the outskirts of the town, you can almost see the curvature in the earth. It's that flat. I was born in Doorumbandy, Queensland. It was the only hospital within 300 miles, I suppose, in them days. It was called Miles. They gave women opportunities to have children there in the hospital. I grew up in Gaduga. Growing up, I lived in town. Went to school, went to church, lived a very white existence within the town. My grandfather is from the Murray River. He was at the Cumbragunja Mission in the early 1900s. He ran away from the Cumbragunja Mission as a 14-year-old, travelling the rivers upstream and ended up in Gaduga. He married my grandmother, who was a local Uralari tribe. They had 15 children, and my grandfather decided at that point in time that he would sign the exemption certificate not to bring his children up as Aboriginal. giving away culture and life on the land, I suppose, to live in town. I know that choice has given me opportunities to do things that a lot of my friends that lived on the camp never ever got to do. Pretty privileged to have that opportunity. I do have a sadness that culture was non-existent in my upbringing. I think, I suppose, culture for me was fishing on the river with uncles and aunties as family groups. I still fish in those spots to this day. I remember the times that we went there as young kids and having family a constant around. Other than that, we didn't really have access to any other land. It was only what was on the side of the river. The Tin Camp Studio is a business venture. It's a concept. I create a space. I tell people that I'm a space creator. I can create a space safe enough for people to share story, whether it be through music, dance, poetry or whatever. I've been very honoured and blessed, and I've worked very hard on getting access to government funds to create spaces for people to be able to tell story and be in a safe space to tell that story. I use my music practice as a healing tool for myself. I don't call myself an entertainer. I call myself a storyteller. Some of the stories I tell are hard-hitting stories, and I'm very honoured to be in the position where I can sit and tell a story to a group of people that I don't really have access to outside of what my music brings. I'm only new in the music industry. I feel that my music is relevant. There's a little bit of ceremony that happens. And the ceremony is, it's a understanding of when you step within this boundary of a space, it's a non-alcoholic, non-drug space. You are welcome to listen, you are welcome to participate. I know that when we have forums and there's five or six people, say we got five people, there's always six chairs, and that six chair is there for, it's an opening for someone who is in the audience who has something to share that is relevant to what's going on. That's their space to share. I do a lot of my work as a sound healer, I call myself sometimes, and it's about feeling vibrations, being in the space, feel a vibration, you feel comfortable enough to share. The microphone's yours for now. You have the chance to tell your truth there and then.
Kara Margaret Lane, Gadooga. I'm a Yarrurah woman. In Gadooga at the school at the moment. I'm working with the seniors this year. We have two Year 12 students that's going to graduate at the end of the year. There's also four Year 11 students, all girls at the moment, so pretty good. And I'm being born and bred in Gadooga. I've come through Gadooga Central School. I was school captain when I was in Year 10, so. And we only have a small community. It's getting smaller and smaller every time. But it's good that we don't have to travel away to school at the minute. You know, we were losing kids to boarding schools. But when we had got NBSA's Northern Borders Access Program, our teachers and teachers from Collarandabri, Mungindoi and Bogabilla also joined in with our group. It allows our kids to stay in their own communities. It's important, and I think it's important because they're on their own country. But we know they have to get all their skills and then move on and go out, and there's a big wide world out there for them all. I encourage and say, if you do go away and get your skill, come back, and you want to start something in your own community. It means a lot, eh? I'm passionate about kids, otherwise I wouldn't be here. So, I encourage from all ages, and we're all family. So we encourage family to stay in their community and come to school. And I always say to them, education is a powerful thing. More education, more choices you have in life. My mum and dad both worked, you know, and they said, we need to get a good education so you can get a good job. The river, our river is our main thing in the community. You know, when the river's blowing, the community's happy. So we, and my parents, we done things on weekends. We'd pack the cars on the weekends and go camping and go fishing. And my dad was in with the boxing, so he taught the boys in the community boxing. So we'd go into different communities and go and do the boxing tournaments. And my mum was a Aboriginal health worker, so she taught us, you know, in her time off on weekends, you know, about health. And so it was really good. You know, we walked around the streets. We thought we were cool. We had boom boxes on our shoulders, and we got out. You know what I mean? Like today, the kids are just sitting in behind screens and stuff like that. So we got out and we went and made cubby houses and went out bush. Yep.
Nice. Yep. The river is such an important place for health and well-being and for culture. Can you talk any more about that?
Well, our river, like, we get a feed from our river. We've got water. We catch fish. We catch crayfish. And on the river, there's the witchetty grubs. We say witchetty grubs along the river in the trees. And I grew up a lot around culture because my dad was a cultural man. He taught me bush tucker and that sort of stuff. So I know some of the trees and what we can eat and what we can't eat. And we have it all around our little community. It's all the natives, the bush tucker and stuff like that. And we have our emus and our kangaroos and we eat that. And the bigibilla, the porcupine, we have to put him in hot water and you got to get all the quills off him. And then we boil him up and then we roast him to make the top part of this is a thick layer of skin. So we roast him in the oven to get him crispy. Love porcupine.
5 stars.
Yep, 5 star.
Does it taste like chicken?
It does. And it's a red meat, but it's a red meat, but it's you see, eating a silver side, cool meat, exactly the same. And our emus are just, it's the best meat. Emu is one of the only meat that I've ever seen that the fat is on the outside. Any other meat you see, the fat's through the meat, emu sits on the outside. And that's the part that I'm not supposed to eat, but we eat it because the fat is just tastes good. We put them in the hole, in the ground. Otherwise we get him and we mince him up and make rissoles. And when we make the rissoles, we put the veggies, like the potatoes, onions, carrots and that through it. So if I want to give you a taste, because emu is rich and make you go to the toilet. So if you didn't want a thing like that, we'd put the veggies and that through it and give you a taste like that. Bit of a rissole, just like a normal rissole. Otherwise we just cut it off the legs and just chuck them in the frying pan. I used to love this time now, this season here, we have got kwandongs. Kwandongs are on at the moment. And my mum used to make kwandong jam. I won't eat a kangaroo though. I don't know why, I just won't eat a kangaroo, but I love the porcupine. Witchetty grubs is another thing. Witchetty grubs taste like chicken. You just get them out the tree and you just, when I was younger, I used to just throw them straight in my mouth, but then as I got older, I put them in the frying pan now with a bit of butter. We have a thing every year, my brother and his wife and their 4 girls and their grannies, and I've got a 1 boy, and every Christmas we come to meet in Gadooga and we go out bush. That's just a tradition we have, and we go out because the kids, the nieces are having kids and they get younger and younger, so we just take them out and show them our country. Because everything's here around our little community. So yeah, we do that. We take him out. And my nephew was 43, and we took him out and he caught a witchetty grub. And we come back sitting around the bushfire, around the campfire one night, and I walk across to him and he's crying. I said, "What's the matter with you, bud?" He's the only cow, and he said, "I'm 43 and I caught my first witchetty grub." My dad was my bush tucker man, so I try and follow. Everybody knows each other. And we look out for each other. And I've got no intention to go anywhere because my mum and dad's here, so like passed on, but they're here. And this is home to me.
Okay, my name's Lucy Howard Shibia. I am a non-Indigenous woman of Irish descent. I am now currently living and learning on Yuralurai country, which is Gadooga, bordering other nations. We've got Murawari up over the Colgo River and over Bawarana, Nemba, and back towards Gamilaroi country there towards Walgett. So my mother's from Bawarana and my family were pastoralists for many generations. And I grew up in Sydney, but have been coming out here for many years. Well, it's a bit of a backstory because I'm actually a language teacher and I did my master's in Aboriginal education And I finished that in 2020. During that period of time, I came up and met Mindy Gibbs, Urallari educator here. She's a teacher. And we started an intercultural immersion where prioritising Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander histories, cultures, languages. So we wanted to bring kids out on country and have a learning experience here, but not just out here, to do the reciprocal, so bringing Gadigal kids down there. So we started that in 2020, and COVID hit, so we just sort of kept in touch via Zoom and bits and pieces. So we wanted it to be kids actually reflecting on themselves and learning about other kids. So whether it was a non-Indigenous child in Ultimo, meeting a young Urallari man out here and talking about their similarities and differences. And essentially the goal is for Aboriginal knowledge systems to be at the forefront. So I did that for a few years, and then I decided to come out here and work. So I've been here for the last couple of years. Yeah, so it's been amazing. Absolutely love it. So now I'm sort of, instead of working with immersions, like I was doing stuff taking kids to Central Australia, always in partnership with community, but so now I'm living here. So what I'm focusing on here, I do a lot of work with the secondary students, particularly the seniors, and also we work with their career pathways. So, for example, I got two girls today flown down to Sydney. They're doing their university interviews at Macquarie Uni. Yeah. Amazing, right? It's just very, very exciting. So they're about to finish school, and hopefully we'll get an early entry offer to university. We've got kids, the traineeships. So really it's about prioritising their opportunities, because they are living in a remote rural town. And it's about ensuring that, well, always forefront in culture, that they can see themselves wherever they go. So there's, you know, obviously we try and make sure that the work they're doing in the classroom incorporates Aboriginal perspectives. And yeah, just basically getting them to just be whatever they want to be. So that's the big picture that we're doing here. So that's really kind of my story. And my husband's here with me, and he loves it. And he's a cabinet maker doing his stuff and doing a bit of woodwork in the classroom as well. So yeah, we just love Gadigal. It's interesting for me as well, because I'm 57, so it's kind of, I grew up going out here, but I'm a descendant of white pastoralists who worked very closely with and had good relationships, I will say, with Aboriginal people that worked together. And obviously you can imagine, though, that was different times. But interestingly, a lot of the families here are from Wilmeringal, which is near where my property is. So a lot of them, my family knew. So it's a sort of a strange way to come full circle. Now I'm living in this community, working with them, and, you know, our grandparents and uncles and aunties knew each other. So it's yeah. And I feel very at home here. I love this country. It's really beautiful country. So it's a real privilege to be working with community here. I have made some really lovely friends here recently. A few of us just jumped in our cars and drove to Broken Hill for the long weekend, going out on country. So 120 kilometres or so to our place. And we go out there, go out to Bree sometimes. Good Chinese food in Pawarina. And take, whenever I've got friends visiting, we often go out to the fish traps. We do the Aboriginal tour with Brad Hardy. Taking our dogs out bush for just being here, going to the boar baths. After raising my kids on Gadigal country in Sydney, it's really nice to be somewhere where it's very quiet. So it's really peaceful. The only thing I'm missing is the ocean. I like the salt water, but so we go boogly fishing, go down to the river and catch booglies. They're the yabbies. So yeah, hanging out with friends that I've met in community. Go up to Hebel, which is Queensland, just over the border. On a Friday night, we go up to Hebel to the pub there and have a feed and play a few games of pool. So yeah, it's pretty simple life. You know, it's really good to be doing something totally different at this stage of my life, because you kind of get caught up, I think, when you're in a job that's really hectic. And you've got kids and they've grown up and then they go off and do their things, and all of a sudden we just had this complete life change. And I'm very grateful to Gadigal and the community for, you know, giving me that opportunity, because I have learnt so much, you know, very, very humbled that they've shared their culture with me and with my husband. And he's Japanese, so he's got interesting things to add to the community as well. So it's been very, very lucky.
Up next, we have a yarn with Denise, who talked to us about the old days growing up in Gadooga.
My dad came from here, but my mother came from up to Queensland. He used to work in the sheds, crutching or cooking, or and then he went out ring-barking out in the paddy, out in the properties. Oh, if there was trees to be pulled down, they used to ring-bark them, like put a ring around them, that tree would die. Yeah. No, I think he went to school in Hebel. Yeah, up just up over the border there. Yeah. But my mum, she came from up way up in Queensland. She was a Scottish lady. Mum came to Dirran Bandy from up where she lived. Our house was only a little, it was a tin house, but it was only small. There was only two bedrooms, and then Mum had two put on the front. Yeah, it was only a little house. There was five, six of us, but we all went to school up here, and then I went out working on stations and that. Yeah, we used to swim down at the river. We used to always have a nice river when I was growing up. We ended up with no water, only when it flooded. Oh, we used to go swimming or go hunting. There was me and another lay girl. At that time, we used to go out hunting with the boys. Used to go out and catch rabbits and things like that. Mm. Used to be a lot of dances. Like there'd be a hospital ball, there'd be a school ball, footballers' ball, CWA ball. There used to be a lot each year. Yeah, I went to a lot as I grew up. It was only when we left school and grew up that we were allowed to go. My sister and I, we married them two brothers on the same day. And then our other sister, she married their younger brother. First job was up in, just out of Dirran Bandy, at a place called Bonnie Doon. Yeah, mother sent me up to Dirran Bandy to work up there on the property first. And then when I came home from up there, I used to just work on property. I used to work on a property just down the road here, only a couple of miles down there. I used to walk down to work in the morning and walk home at night time. Now, Mum used to say, if you see a car coming, get off the road and lay down. You weren't allowed to stand up just in case. Then one night the shearers were coming in, and I knew them all, and they knew me, but I lay down, I wouldn't answer them. But hey, she went right up. I wouldn't get up off the ground, mate. Did you know? You never know who's pulling up for you.
Thanks for listening. To hear more amazing stories from Outback New South Wales, check out the whole Outback Out Loud series, now streaming everywhere.
We acknowledge and celebrate the first Australians on whose traditional lands we meet and work, and whose cultures are among the oldest continuing cultures in human history.
Please like, subscribe, rate us and write a review. The Outback Out Loud podcast was designed and produced by Signal Creative and is a collaboration between Signal Creative and Outback Arts. The Outback Out Loud community project and workshop series was designed and facilitated by Signal Creative. These episodes are the result of recordings and interviews collected by Signal Creative and community participants. You can find Signal Creative at signalcreative.net and Outback Arts at outbackarts.com.au, and you can find both of us on Facebook and Instagram. Audio production, sound and music design by Emma Hoy. Community liaison, research and editing by Caroline Wallace.